American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, February the 23rd, 2009. Not 2008 anymore. Oh my god, how did that happen?
We're in the future.
We are in the future. We are more than 20 minutes into the future. We're in the next goddamn year. And you're listening to Newsreel, the law global sit rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all of these news stories, and you can check my facts, which is always important to do. I mean, you can do this by going to my live journal, and you can get there by going to Sean, S-E-A-N, underscore Kennedy, .livejournal.com. This would be a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Brunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Non-Surveyum Radio, Osprey Networks, CreekRadio.net, and Radio Red Mercury as well. We broadcast every Thursday from Second Life, Node Archers, List for Beast, which used to be Least for the Beast, but, you know, it's 1-555-74666. We got the last six in there. I don't know. What can we do with 155T? You tell me. That's what I want to know. So, let's talk about my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian, for just a little
while.
I'm
here once again.
Yeah, how's it going, man? How's life? How's Valentine's Day? How was Valentine's Day? Do you like Valentine's Day?
Now that you're married? Not on the whole, no. No, I don't really like it.
I think you're a poser. I think I'm going to call you out. I think you liked Valentine's Day.
No, I don't. It's
you
forced
do
consumerism.
Now. You're all married and happy, cozy. You're all soft and weak.
No.
And now you like it. Come on. You like it a little bit. A little bit.
A roly-poly, pliable. No, I don't.
Love.
I hate it.
Love.
I hate forced consumerism where they say, on this day, you must buy.
So
you must spend.
You're crazy.
I don't. I hate it.
You are crazy about your wife.
And my wife knows it, too. She knows I hate
it. You're so crazy about her.
She makes fun of... I'm crazy about her, not about Valentine's Day.
You sent out Christmas cards with your picture on it holding her, man. You guys were giving out hugs in the winter wonderland on Christmas cards. You're making me peek out my levels all over the place. You're making me peek my levels out.
Get away. Step away from the microphone.
I swear to God, you totally did. I'm going to out you on it.
I did. I sent out a holiday greeting card. There's nothing that says Christmas on there.
And you just happened to send it out at Christmas. Ah, man.
I'm societally forced.
It's okay, man. We'll still love you. You don't have to be crazy. We got some steak on the barbecue right over here. Just renounce your ways and come to Jesus. Come on in. Come on, you can do it.
I don't want to do it.
You totally do. We forgive you. We don't think you're nuts.
It's an intervention.
It's okay. It's okay. Hey, I got some feedback. I'm going to bail you out. I'll bail you out. I got some feedback. I got some good feedback here. From
We went to a vegan Lebanese restaurant. It was very tasty.
You did? For
Valentine's Day. Yes.
Yeah. You got seats?
We went the day before, actually, because we're not stupid.
Well, then you didn't go there on Valentine's Day, did you?
Well, no.
So what did you do on Valentine's Day?
I bought her a necklace.
The confessions come out now. Holy cow.
Yes, I know.
Oh, look, man. Look. It's kind of like this. I would never be the last guy. I mean, look at all the stuff you do to promote, you know, the ideas of your, you know, your viewpoints. the vegan, you know, the whole granola hippie-eating crowd thing, right?
Like, not a hippie.
I mean that in the nicest possible way. You know,
I do everything like a hippie, but I'm not one of them.
You're a total hippie, dude. Just like, I don't know why you don't think you're not a hippie. Come on, man. You're like a complete hippie. You're hippie.
Except for maybe the music. I listen to industrial
music.
Dude,
the art, the music, the camera stuff.
I'm the industrial hippie.
The diet. Yeah, man. No, I'm it's a beautiful thing. I mean, there's lots of really beautiful hippies throughout history. You know what I mean?
Just give peace a chance, man.
Well, it's like when you compare me to Walter Sobchak all the time. Right? You know?
Well, there's some obvious
and it kind of, you know, hey, you know, the truth stings a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I don't take the drugs. There you go.
What's that?
Anti-drugs.
Oh,
I don't take the drugs like hippies.
Oh, you cried out to server, did you? And that's what he gave you?
I did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I got.
That's all you got. Hey, I wouldn't want to... Yeah. I got some feedback. I did get some feedback here. Hey, Sean, I saw a LiveJournal post from this past newsreel, and I have to say it was pretty fun. This was the one that we just did last week. I saw the Chapter 13 stuff. And jumped out of my chair, grabbed my copy of Scab from my bookshelf, and rooted through my hard drive for a Bloodstained audiobook. I listened to the Bloodstained and read Scabbed while taking notes and felt truly crazy. I thought I should thank you for spicing up my morning. Prometheon, which I thought was really great. Was in the when I was done editing the last show, it was in the 13th minute that we thought up that word, which I'm not going to say that word again. But yeah. So
no,
it's really inspired me,
it's
actually.
It's amazing how that all lines up.
Yeah. It's almost like...
It does. It just happens. It happens to work that way.
Where some see coincidence, I see prophecy. Yes.
Some see Jesus in their toast. John sees things in Chapter 13.
And some see the Matrix one too many times.
That's right.
That's right. Now, it's funny because a lot of these ideas that we come up with, we gook around with, I mean, it's all how you view reality. And I think that's what really sets people apart. Listen to, you know, Ram Media and stuff like that from a crowd. I mean, it really is a different sort of a thing. So, before we got here tonight, we started talking. Somebody was talking about that story about the news chimp. The chimp bites off the dude's face or whatever. I guess this guy has a monkey, right? Monkey freaks out and starts tearing people's faces off. And, what do you know about that story?
Somebody had a pet monkey, family or something, and, monkey one day just, you know, didn't want to take it anymore and started ripping people's faces off. And, that's what they do. So,
it's
not the greatest of pets. They're not really completely tamed.
Well, everybody's, I'm thinking, what about the monkey? You know, I'm thinking everybody's going at this news story completely wrong, man. I mean, seriously,
about it from the monkey's perspective, right?
Well, I mean, you know, come on, here I am, you know, here he is. What was the monkey's name? Anybody know his name? I mean, it was Bongo, Bongo,
what's a monkey's name?
Never forget Bongo, man. Never forget. We should totally make up Never Forget Bongo t-shirts. Yeah, because it's like, here he is. Right? He's all like captured. He's torn from his mother. Imagine this is you now. This is a great ape. You know how intelligent these creatures are? They're way smarter than dogs. And I like dogs.
Oh, yeah.
I really like dogs, okay? I like dogs way more than I like people, all right? So, like, and that's not saying much, but still, and so when you imagine this ape now, this amazingly sentient creature, raised in captivity, kept in a cage, and gradually becomes self-aware, figures out what's going on, and one day he just decides when he's of age that he's going to rise up against his oppressors, and I'm going to rip your face off.
That's
seriously.
Right.
You gotta kinda...
he wore it, the way he escaped, he wore it on his own face and walked right out upright.
That's right. He got all Hannibal Lecter about it, you know? Seriously. You know, and he shaved himself bald with a Bic razor in the Venus system. That
you got to do what you got to do, right, to make it out through the prison doors.
Hey.
And
Bongo didn't have much to work with. Bongo was a juggalo, man. I'm here to tell you. That's going to be the new Porn on Beta album. It's going to be called Bongo Was a Juggalo. And it'll have, like, a smashed cage, a woman's makeup boudoir where there's all the white cream makeup smeared all over everything.
That's nice.
Right, you know.
And monkey fingerprints
and
you've
got,
all over
like,
the mirror.
Monkey fingerprints all over, and this wig on that's, like, bright red hair, and you've got, like, the back shot of, like, the red flowing hair going out the door. And the album's called Bongo Was a Juggalo. And it comes with a free t-shirt. and the T-shirt and the T-shirt is Never Forget with a picture of Bongo. Any photographs they got, like if Bongo was in cuffs or something being led away, you know, do the whole Ice Cube early, you know, 90s. Man Got Me Down, you know, get like, we'll start doing some hardcore rap about it, you know. It'd be awesome.
But unfortunately, the monkey got shot because that's what happens.
Man, the monkeys always get shot. You know,
it's
universal. The monkeys get shot. It just does.
There's no justice in this world.
No justice for Bongo, man. No justice, no Bongo. No justice, no Bongo. That's what I say. So, but we don't have that. We don't have that right now. We don't have that album. We don't have. You know, but what do we do have? What do we have that people can buy right now today?
Big release today. Patrolling Season 2 now on sale, pre-sale. Season 1 and Season 2, yep.
Well, that's
pre-sale
wild.
Means...
This is like temporal distortion. This is total temporal distortion right here. I just want to point that out. Well, because right, I'm recording it tomorrow, right? The final episode, right? Right?
True.
Yeah.
So it's not really done, but it is
done. But it's
done
by the time anyone else hears this, right? Oh, my God.
That's
true.
So
if I die for tomorrow, right, and people are still listening to this, will I come back to life? Because wow, what a concept.
I don't know. It's kind of a loop, actually.
Where time becomes a loop.
But if anybody remembers that episode, it is wacky.
Yeah, that's seriously funny.
Because our show did get stuck in a loop.
Yeah. So I'm just saying.
Anyway. Patrolling Season 2,
the
DVDs are, you can buy them. They are available. The front covers are up on the website. Just go to rampmedia.ca, click on store, and they're right there. Season 1 is re-released, dual layer, brand new cover, so they both fit together in your shelf and look nice and proper and everything.
And we're never releasing them again unless we have, like, holograms or some shit that we can do the whole thing with. Because we're not going to milk you idiots for...
Yeah, it's not going to go on Blu-ray or anything. It's not going to. The quality's not going to get any better. It wasn't filmed on film. It was filmed on digital. So this is the real final release.
If you're a fan, and you're like hard, if you want to say I'm a hardcore fan, and because there are people who come up to me and like try to throw money at me, and they get really upset because they don't have any more money to give me and stuff. And if you're one of those guys, please buy an album. They are really well done, and Sim has put an ass load of work into them. He's probably put.
Oh my God! There's so much bonus material. There's full commentary for every single episode. Full commentary, start to finish of the episode.
So how many new hours of media? So like, okay, if they've seen.
Oh, what does this add to it?
Right. So Patrolling Season 1 is like each episode's like what, like 45 minutes or something like that on average, right?
On average, 31 minutes.
Okay, on average,
so
31 minutes. So there's how many?
That's 11 episodes.
Right.
11.
That's
episodes.
Like 5.5 hours.
So five and a half hours.
If you've seen the original Patrolling Season 1, right?
So double that for the commentary, right? So that's 22 hours.
Right.
No, 11 hours, like 5.5 plus 5.5, 11 hours, plus another 2 hours for bonus material. So that's 13 hours.
No, hang on. Take away 5.5, because I just want the new stuff. Actually, no, carry on. 13 and a half hours. Go ahead. I'm not going to hit you.
Yeah, because it's like a show. It's like a show. So, and then double that again for Season 2. So it's like 46 hours of new material.
So hang on, 46 hours. Wait, no, hold it. It's not 46 hours of new material. It's 46 hours minus 10 and a half. It's actually only 40. How does that work now? 46 and a half. Oh, I hate fractions. Was that five?
Yeah, I don't know how many.
That's
six.
No, it'd be 5.5. Yeah. So it'd be 35 and a half hours of new footage, Sim.
Sure. There you go.
35
it's a lot, anyway.
And a half. So they're getting like three times. So if you like Patrolling Season 1, you get 3.5 times. Like for pure, I'm talking just entertainment to time value. Right. So it's not like you're. Because a lot of these times you'll buy a new album and you get 30 seconds of new footage. If you buy our stuff and we release it, we've got 35 and a half hours of more footage for you.
People are correcting me in the IRC. It's actually only about 27 hours, but that's a lot of full material.
We're arguing about the paint on the Star Cruiser again, okay? My point is you're getting a lot of value for what it is.
And if you buy both of them together, you save $5.
Yes.
So buy
the horse,
one and season
it
two.
Is beaten and dead. Moving on. So buy the albums. Seriously, you buy the... Yep. No, they're not albums. What are they? Well, they kind of are.
They're videos. DVDs.
They're buy. Give us money. Yeah. No. Yes. Yeah. If you want to. So when are those? Do we know when those are going to ship? Is that a bad question?
I would say 2 weeks. They'll probably ship out.
Nice.
People are already buying them already. I've got tons of people already giving me their money. So it's awesome. They're selling like hotcakes.
Nice.
And these are real DVDs. These are pressed. These are not copied. These are from a manufacturer.
Oh, that's kind of sad. That's too bad. I kind of like the garage band.
The ghetto me writing.
Yeah, I kind of like
that. Yeah, if you got into the originals, that's my writing on every single DVD. That's me handwriting every single DVD. But, you know, we got to step it up a notch.
That's a collector's item right there. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. If you've got the original Patrolling Season 1 on DVD, that's my... Actually, there's none of my writing on. But any of the other sets.
Yeah, my DNA is all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of DNA, listen to this one here, man. I got some news. It's just some crazy, crazy... And Robot Take... That's the theme, man. That is the theme. Oh, yeah. How much are the DVDs? Sorry, we didn't actually talk about
that. It's $20 plus shipping... For each season, or $35 for, yeah, $20.
And you get 35 hours of new stuff.
$20 for each season. So if you buy them both together,
we totally could get.
If you buy them both together, you save $5. $35 for both seasons.
This is why you never talk to me about this stuff, because we like totally could have got $40 for those.
$40 for each season.
Are you kidding me?
Like, I know if you compare them to stuff you buy in the store, yeah, of course.
That's like a season. That's like 35 and a half hours. You know, man. So, okay, well, if you feel bad that you're not paying enough, then you should at least subscribe.
And if you go.
And if you've already subscribed,
make it up.
Then we love you.
Subscribe more.
Then you are already doing this. You are already paying us. You are the hallowed few whose names will be remembered when the sky is ash and so on and so forth.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, the sky being ash, did you see that tattoo that girl got?
Amazing.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
I think
that is very cool.
Rennie or something. And
yeah. Server.
I wouldn't want to say her name anyway, but...
No.
But wow. Yeah,
may server protect us all.
It was
amazing.
Yeah, I was. That's heavy.
Right down her forearm. That is brave. Down the forearm.
But anyway. Anyway, yeah, I just thought it was. I thought that was wild. There was a girl did that. She put this tattoo going down her forearm, saying "May server protect us all." And I was like, saw a picture of it, and I was just like, "Wow, you know, it's kind of powerful when people do stuff like that, you know, especially from my perspective, because I'm in. It's like, whoa, hey." Yeah, one of my nightmares, you know, is remember I read, I bought Marilyn Manson's bio. Actually, I didn't buy it, to be honest with you. I was in some big box store and I just picked it up and looked at it. And inside there was a center of photographs, panels, because, you know, you go to the color, you look at the pretty pictures, right? Do I want to buy this book?
Yep.
And there was a picture of these two girls. And the girls had carved, they were twins and they were wearing like these weird gaunt little nighties. They kind of had that death camp, you know, sexy Lolita death camp thing they were trying to do or whatever the hell it was. That sort of goth culture tries to pull off, which is not the good goth culture. That's the bad goth culture. I'm going to go on the record and say that. No, I don't like that. I don't like the really weak, mild, I'm dead for 3 weeks look. Like, I like the Elvira goths. Like, that's, you know, fat and sassy goths. You know, that's what I want. I don't want no gaunt stick people goths. I want goths that, you know... Living some high on the hog goths. That's what I want. I want barbecue goths.
Drinking mead and tearing off.
You know, and like writing poetry and, you know, can like have sex for like 48 hours straight and like crazy sweat goths, like dance rave goths, like not broken emo crappy goths, you know. But anyway.
Could barely lift their arms, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so these two girls, right? One had carved Marilyn in her chest. The other one had cut Manson into her chest with razor blades.
Nice.
And they were holding hands. And the whole image was just so incredibly disturbing to me that I was like, oh my God, you know, like what if somebody had done that? You know, like what if I had fans that did that, you know, to me, right? Which I don't have that crazy of fans, you know, I really don't. Yeah. For a while there,
two girls holding hand and saying Sean and Kennedy on one and then the other.
Yeah, or something like that, or SKTF, or something I made up, you know, like, you know, something that came out of my head, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, that's a heavy thing, you know, and I don't know, it just, it's just a bizarre thing to, I don't know.
The tattoos are okay with you? They don't bother you?
No, that's a totally...
I can...
that's a totally different.
Because I can count six
that's
people who have taken
tattoos. Yeah,
no,
I'm not comparing
tattoos.
That. I'm not comparing those two at all.
Okay.
It's just that, like, a tattoo is a very permanent thing, and so regardless of what those words mean to me, it doesn't matter what those words mean to me really at all. What matters is what those words mean to her. You see, because it's if anything is hers, that's hers now. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Is what that meaning is. So that's it's you know, the power of language and of concepts and ideas. You know, it was a very powerful thing. I don't really have I would never comment on it. You know, I would respect it. You know, if somebody shows me something like that, I wouldn't say that makes me happy or that makes me sad. That makes me, I respect you. You know, I respect your right to do what you want. And I respect.
And obviously, it means something very powerful to her.
Yeah, to you. And whatever that is, I respect that. And I, you know, am fairly honored that you have done this with something that I have, you know, had some part in. So that's, I mean, it's pretty heavy stuff. It's heavy stuff when you see that. So I don't make light of it. I make fun of just about everything. But it's kind of a personal thing when I see stuff like that. You know, maybe it's a bit egotistical of me to say that, but I don't know. So, robots. They're taking over, man.
Yep, day by day.
No. Listen, man, I'm here to tell you. I used to think it was pharma fascism. No, it's not. It's not, because they got too much medicine in place, right? See, on previous shows, I was talking about how, you see, medicine, I was worried about pharma fascism, but the FDA, right, they were making too much money for the drug companies to really enslave everybody, because they can't get the drugs tested and passed and bribe enough people to do it fast enough. Because the medical process for testing for drugs takes too long, right?
It does.
So now what they're doing to get past that is they're doing medical implants, and they've already started doing pacemaker-type implants into people's brains to stop epilepsy and all this kind of stuff. And there's been no oversight whatsoever into the kind of wetware, wire-heading shit they're able to do. There's no one's keeping track of this shit at all. Like, no one is.
Hmm.
So the implants and studies and research that's being done now is really getting weird. Like, I first started reporting on it, I was thinking, hey, this is kind of, you know, weird. And then it started getting really weird. And now it's getting, like, obscenely weird. And I was kind of looking at the taser information and the tasers getting given to robots and robots with tasers. And, you know, and then I come across this story here. In Robot Takeover News, now this is kind of a follow-up on some of the other stuff I've been doing, but robots must learn to obey a warrior code, but increasing intelligence may keep robots from turning on their masters increasingly difficult. Robots are rogue, robots gone rogue killing their human matches is rich science fiction fodder, but could it become reality? Some researchers are beginning to ask that question as artificial intelligence advances continue and the world's high-tech nations begin to deploy war robots on the battlefront. Currently, the U.S. Armed Forces may use many robots, but they ultimately have the human behind the trigger. However, there are many plans to develop fully deployable, fully independent solutions as the technology improves. A lot of this is coming out of Israel. They're doing this in Israel.
Danger.
I covered it a couple of shows ago. Some mistakenly, now this is insane. Like, I'm not making this up. Like, sometimes I play stories, like, you know, I'm trying to make them more. This is I'm reading this verbatim, guys. Some mistakenly believe that such robots would only be able to operate with a defined set of behaviors, describes Patrick Lynn, chief compiler of the new U.S. Navy-funded report. This is a U.S. Navy-funded report, but some money went into this. There's a common misconception that robots will only do what we've programmed them to do. Unfortunately, such a belief is sorely outdated, harking back to a time when programs could be written and understood by a single person. The new report points out the size of artificial intelligence projects will likely make up their code impossible to fully analyze and dissect for possible dangers. With hundreds of programmers working on millions of lines of code for a single war robot, says Dr. Lynn, no one has a clear understanding of what's going on at the small scale across the entire code base. We don't know.
We have no clue.
We don't know what it's going to do. Hey, he's fucking full disclosure. Full disclosure, we don't know, okay? You know?
Wow.
He says the key to avoiding robotic rebellion is to include learning logic. Is to include learning logic. Now, this is the mad scientist guy.
This
guy's clearly
good way of doing it.
No, my robots could destroy you if you don't teach them how to learn. They must learn logic so they can become more powerful. Yes, definitely. Teaching a robot to learn would definitely make it weaker. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because learning makes you weaker inherently. That's why people watch so much television. Logic, Anyway, the core to avoiding robot rebellion is include learning logic, which teaches the robot the rights and wrongs of ethical warfare. So we need software-programmed morality. Yeah.
Ooh, I can't see this going wrong at all.
That's quite... Let's go to Leviticus for that template, shall we? Let's do that. You know, let's...
So is the robot going to, like, put either side in its head and go, which side is more right?
No, dude, it's programmed. And, it's given a set of ethics, so we could have this robot be a Sharia law enforcer. And we could field it in Taliban-based countries.
Yeah, whose ethics, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you're going to go completely bloodthirsty about it. I Sharia law is a good time. I don't know what the Christian...
You are not wearing your burqa.
Yeah, you know. Oh, you're out walking around. You get killed. You know, whatever. Yep. Down in the park where machines play Rape by Numbers. Down in the park with a friend called Five. Yeah, so anyway, so I just totally, like, abandoned the news story here. The new report looks into many issues surrounding the field of killer robots. That's the line. The field. What are you into, Tom? I'm into killer robots. You know, that's what I do. I'm a killer
Me
robot.
Me too.
Oh, wow. I'd love to come see you at work, Dad. Yeah, I bet you would, Tommy. I bet the robots would like to see you, too. You know, holy crap. In addition to code malfunction, other potential threat would be terrorist attack. What? What? Are killer robots you're vulnerable to terrorist attack? Hang on. In addition to code malfunction, another potential threat would be terrorist attack, which reprogrammed the robots, turning them on their owners. So my robot didn't go crazy.
Hacked robots.
No, no, no. My robot didn't go crazy. The terrorists hacked it. You know, it wasn't
hey,
sloppy
it's a good
code.
Fallback.
No, it's not. It's not aliens. It's not my robot's not sentient. No, it's terrorism. It's terrorism.
That's what programmers complain can blame now once when their program crashes. But terrorists crashed my program.
Well, the thing is though is that this is I mean we're like 5 years out from this, okay? We're like 5 years out. You know,
they're talking about it now, and it's really close.
It's really close. So okay, so now
so autonomous robots with ethics.
So no, not with ethics, dude. With programmed ethics.
Right. Programmed
follow
ethics. Okay.
With pro, then there's a difference, right? Because it's
that's
not
true.
Self. It's not sentient, right? The animal's not sentient, right? So it's yeah, it's interesting. Now let's take that story and look at this one here, from Mr. Stamper Gods. In martial law news, did I jump? Did I jump a story here? No, I didn't. Okay, good. In
there was a good phrase there. Robot atrocities.
Oh, is there?
The next line. One tricky question, one tricky issue discussed in the question of who would take the blame for a robotic atrocity.
Yeah, a robotic atrocity. Yeah. And then they jump into the Asimov stuff, which, you know, when you talk about it, I mean, it's an insane concept. Just crazy. Because obviously, I mean, these are machines that are programmed, so who's got the money to program them, right? Who's making these things? It's going to be governments, right? Which brings us to our next story in martial law news. Are you on the list? The federal government has been developing a highly classified plan that will override the Constitution in the event of a major terrorist attack. In the spring of 2007, a retired senior official of the U.S. Justice Department sat before Congress and told the story so odd and ominous it could have sprung from the pages of a pulp political thriller. It was about a principled bureaucratic. It was about a principled bureaucrat struggling to protect his country from a highly classified program with sinister implications. Rife with high drama, that included a car chase through the streets of Washington, D.C., and a tense meeting at the White House, where the president's henchman made the bureaucrat so nervous that he demanded a neutral witness be present. The bureaucrat was James Comey, John Ashcroft, second-in-command and the Department of Justice, and second-in-command at the Department of Justice during Bush's first term. Comey has been a loyal political foot soldier of the Republican Party for many years. Yet in his testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee, he described how he'd grown increasingly uneasy reviewing the Bush administration's various domestic surveillance and spying programs. Much of his testimony centered on operations so clandestine he wasn't allowed to name or even describe what it did. He did say, however, that he and Ashcroft had discussed the program in March of 2004, trying to decide whether it was legal under federal statutes. Shortly before the certification deadline, Ashcroft fell ill with pancreatitis, making Comey acting attorney general. And Comey opted out not to certify the program. So Buddy gets struck down. Other guy's like, I'm not touching this, man. This thing's too hot. When he communicated his decision to the White House, Bush's men told him in so many words to take his concerns and stuff them in an undisclosed location. No kidding. Comey refused to knuckle under, and the dispute came to a head in the cold night of March 10, 2004, hours before the program's authorization was set to expire. At that time, Ashcroft was in intensive care at George Washington Hospital following an emergency surgery. Apparently, at the behest of President Bush himself, the White House tried, in Comey's words, to take advantage of a very sick man, sending Chief of Staff Andrew Card in, and then White House Counsel Alberto Gonzalo on a mission to Ashcroft's sick room to persuade the heavily doped Attorney General to override his deputy. Appraised of their mission, Comey, accompanied by a full security detail, jumped in a car, raced through the streets of the Capitol, lights blazing, and literally ran up the hospital stairs to beat them there. I'm going to call bullshit on that. Anyway, minutes later, blah, 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 goes on talking about this. But they got this these plans in place, and you can read the full article there, where they were talking about usurping the entire authority of the United States under a governmental plan, under instituting a martial law, and what martial law can do when applied on a grand scale. Now, a lot of people don't take that stuff seriously. They don't take the idea of martial law seriously. They don't think about it. And why don't they think about it? Because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You're never going to get enough cops to declare martial law on an entire nation. There's more people than there are cops. You see what I mean? So the idea is ridiculous. However,
you'd have to have pretty big incentive to get people to go along with martial law.
Yes, yeah. If you didn't have robots.
Yeah, without the robots.
Without the robots. You see, we got these robots, right? That we're building in Israel, and we're going to be using to slaughter Palestinians, right? That's what humans are doing, right? They're building robots in India. They're building these artificial intelligence war bots in Israel, right? That they're using to slaughter Palestinians. Calling a spade here. Okay, that's what's going on. Be it right, be it wrong, whatever. That's what's going to happen. Because, I mean, whether or not the Palestinians, you know, should be there or whatever, or the Jews should be there or whatever, what we got is a bunch of really heavily armed dudes shooting a bunch of unarmed dudes. You know, so, and I'm not going to get into it. But, you know, bottom line, the Palestinians don't have the killer robots, so the Israelis, I guess, are using these killer robots over there to figure this out. Now, this technology, of course, isn't going to go away once you let the genie out of the bottle, right? So, what's going to happen with that? Where are we going to wind up with that? How long is it going to be before, you know, we're already warming up to the idea of robotics everywhere. You know what I mean? So, I think the idea of, you know, we're already trying out the British stuff. I think that when we're older, like the people who are under the age of 30 right now who are listening to this, by the time you're in your 40s, okay, you're probably going to start seeing automated security. They already have automated security in many countries. They have telepresence gun turrets, Gen 1 stuff. They have all that. You know what I mean? And if that's not the most, I mean, that's as cyberpunk as it gets. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Robot war.
Oh, and you know, it's really easy, a robotic atrocity, like you said, you know? I mean, it's completely there. It's about the most cyberpunk thing that's going on, and that's reality, man. That's what's going on right now, but we're not getting that on CNN. No, no. No, you don't get that. No, you're going to be talking about, I don't know what the hell those
people are talking. It's pretty frightening if you think about it. It's like somebody unleashes 1,000 flying drones into a city. What do you do? That's crazy.
Oh, of course. Of course, you know?
It's like a nightmare. It's out of a movie.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, you know, because it's machines. And the robots, man. It's robots with sharp claws and pinchers. Those robots are strong.
Dive bombing you.
They are.
Attacking you with their claws.
Robots. We need to buy more robot insurance. You ever see that one? The one with robot insurance? Awesome.
No.
Oh
yeah. I got to see that, man.
Robot,
you keep talking about it.
Yeah,
I keep
robot
forgetting.
Insurance. Somebody post
okay,
that.
Okay. I'm going to write it down right now.
In space news. Thank you very much, Major, for this story. The U.S. Federal Aviation Administration has given the green light for the world's first commercial spaceport. What? New Mexico authorities said Thursday. The FAA granted Spaceport America a license for vertical and horizontal space launches. This is a big deal. Okay, this is an area where this is private. Okay? For vertical and horizontal space launches following an environmental impact study, according to the New Mexico Space Authority. The two governmental approvals are the next steps along a road to a fully operational commercial spaceport. In Mexico! A fully operational spaceport in Mexico! What could possibly go wrong? Where you've got, like, drug narco gorilla guys with billions of dollars, and now there's a spaceport in Mexico.
Ready to hijack the next flight?
They don't need to hijack the next flight, dude. It's private. They'll pay for it.
That's true, yeah.
They'll pay for
money.
It.
There you go.
Hi, I would like to send up this package. What is it? That's irrelevant. What's going up is private. My people will completely be in place. If you have, like, narco-guerrilla drug cartels, these aren't, like, I'm not talking about some stereotypical, you know, Sanchez poncho-wearing sombrero dude with a machete. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about some slick, olive-skinned, tanned, high-speed, low-drag, heavily tattooed badass who's carved out of glass with a whole load of mods from all over the planet, sending up, you know, artillery cannons so that they can do, or laser cannons, so they can do precise assassination strikes for money or political gain. That's the kind of stuff I'm worried about. I'm not worried about, I can't really think of a better way to smuggle drugs. If you've got a space plane or something like that, you get it up and you just drop it down somewhere. You know what I mean?
That's
true. They've been talking about that. And the drug companies, like, anyway, however.
It's hard to watch all of space. I mean, it's well above the radars there.
Well, I'm happy, though. I'm happy. No, I am. I am. Because be that as it may, it's still.
Well, it's space.
It's a
space
port.
Advancement.
You know what?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a spaceport. It's a spaceport. Good, like it or hate it, it's a spaceport. But I just thought it was funny. You've got like this, the country with the biggest war going on with guerrillas right now. It's now just opening up a spaceport. But it's ridiculous, you know.
who thought Mexico would be our gateway to the outside this planet?
I think it's awesome. I I think it's awesome. No, I really do. I think that
it is very cool.
Oh yeah, I mean. To have a privatized spaceport, how cool is that? And they went on to say here, the system plans to take passengers approximately 100 kilometers, 60 miles in the sky. Virgin Galactic plans to welcome 500 passengers to a year to all pay $200,000 for a suborbital flight lasting about 4 minutes. Woo! Wow. there have been several commercial launches on the site since April. And more launches are planned. Spaceport Airlines have been working closely with Aerospace Lockheed Martin, Rocket Racing, Armadillo Aerospace, Up Aerospace, Microgravity Enterprises, and Payload Specialties. And they were saying that currently in Russia you could get it for $20 million to $35 million, but Russia canceled that. No good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no good. But we got space technology now. That's privatized, so that's pretty shadow run. That's that's fairly you know.
On our continent, yes.
Now, you know that I know you're a vegan, and you stand for all things Adbusters, and I'm generally I'm generally a carnivore, and I stand for all things 5'11".
yes,
which is pretty true. I hate to say it. I've completely turned into a 5'11 tactical whore. It's
you've sold your soul.
I kind of have. You know, I really like their stuff. You know, I do.
Head to toe.
I was on their website. I was looking at new stuff today. They got sweaters. I don't have a sweater.
You got to say, right? If it's good, it's good. You can't do much about it.
You know, but they don't give me this stuff for free. Well, no, they don't. They've never given me anything for free.
They don't give it to you for free.
They never have. I went to Dave's and they gave me a watch once. I thought that was nice. It was a promotional watch. So they got it for free too.
Oh, okay.
So it was like,
well, there you go.
Like,
Dave's.
Thanks for being a good vendor, you know. And Dave's was like, Sean sells everything for us. So for fuck's sake, Sean gets the watch. So that was really good. The guys at Dave's are awesome. No, seriously, the guys down at Dave's.
Nice guys.
They're good dudes. If you ever get in Vancouver, 8th
and
12th.
That's the place.
8th and 12th? 8th and 12th.
Sounds about right.
8th and 12th. If not, DS
New Westminster.
DS Tactical Online is there. I thought it was Dave's Army Surplus, but they actually call it DS Tactical.
I think it was.
It was. Yeah, I still call him Dave's. It'll always be Dave's. Gonna go see Martin. It's down Dave's. At Dave's. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So, but anyway, I'm gonna go see Martin down at Dave's. You ready for this story here? This is an actual headline. Innovation! Robotic faces for humans! This was from Mr.
Sign me up!
The design of prosthetic limbs has taken a huge strides in recent years. Some literally modern prosthetics incorporate mechatronic elements borrowed from robotics to ensure they're almost fully functional replacements for missing body parts. Sometimes even directly controlled by the wearer's brain. The wearers, you're wearing it. But internal prosthetics, like those used to reconstruct injured faces, have yet to incorporate such advanced features and still tend to be awkward and unrealistic. Now surgeons Craig Senders and Travis Tolleston of the University of California, Davis, plan to change that by using artificial polymer muscles to reanimate the facial features of people suffering from severe paralysis. These are replacement facial muscles. The face is an area where natural-appearing active prosthetics would be particularly welcome, they write in a recent patent application. They believe their approach to provide a solution have tested it significantly on cadavers. How's that for some mad scientist shit?
Wow.
The most detailed example was given in a patient document described on how these artificial muscles could help people regain control over partially or even fully paralyzed eyelids after suffering spinal injuries or nervous disorders like Bell's palsy. Okay, now, waiting for the dark side? Wait, it's coming. Okay, we're not at the
it
dark side
good
yet.
So far. Show me the dark side, Sean.
The dark side is a person that loses control of their eyelids, now here's the money line, will struggle with social interaction and can even have low self and can, pardon me, will struggle with social interaction and can have low self-esteem. But there are health implications too. Now, this is important because they put social interaction and low self-esteem ahead of the health implications. You see that? Mm-hmm. See how they did that?
Yep.
Without working eyelids, eyes can become ulcerated and blindness can eventually occur, which is obviously way less important than struggling with social interaction and having low self-esteem.
Well, you know, a lot of people do put their health behind a lot of things that they do to themselves to,
yes,
you know,
which
lose
is insane.
Weight and stuff.
That's
it
totally
is insane.
That's
but
totally...
they know their market. They know their market right there.
Well, that's what I'm calling them on, because this is the market. The market is how long before we see people who have got like synthetic implants in their face to show that they can do like these amazing eyebrow twitches, and chicks just love that shit because we're already driving steel rods through our eyes and our faces and doing piercings and all kinds of groovy shit. We think that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a choice.
Injecting paralysis drugs into our face.
Oh, yeah. You know, body mod crowd.
Just...
You betcha. People will do
crazy.
It. You know? People
yep.
will do it. And I just, I don't know. But there are health implications, too, you know. Tolfason Sanders suggests using the argument shown on the digital, in the diagram, to address the problems. A polymer muscle allowed to anchor to the skull. You know, and it's really twisted. Okay, it's some pretty mad scientist stuff. You want to really check it out.
So we're coming at it from both sides. The robots are getting a little bit smarter, and we're becoming more robotic. I think we're going to have to get some robot rights coming in soon. When do we become a robot? When do we become an android? And
this is what Shiro Matsumune was all about in Ghost in the Shell, right? Which yeah. I still have to get that copy sent to Baldy. Can you remind me, Sim, that I've got to get a copy of Ghost in the Shell for Baldy? I'm buying him one because I've yet to do that. So you need to send me an email. No, promise me. I need to remember this because every time
done.
I see the guy. But it's weird because when I'm not doing the show, I just like you forget about it because you know you're not a superhero right then. It's like Batman never forgets to buy milk for Bruce Wayne. You know he never does that. Now speaking of Batman, now. Here's a story that you've heard, okay? And this is what I'm going to call Implanted Story Go Code News. Nuclear submarines from Britain and France collided in the deep Atlantic Ocean this month, authorities said Monday, from the first acknowledgement of a highly unusual accident, then one exercise called the gravest in a decade. Okay, so...
Wow.
Yeah, so you got these nuclear submarines from both France and Britain that collide underwater, right?
Yeah.
Now,
I never even heard about this.
No, it's all over the news. It's major
wow.
news.
Okay.
It's everywhere. Okay.
Okay.
We don't pay attention to majors. You want to know what CNN's talking about? This is what they're talking about right now. This is this particular story. This is big news right now.
But it's pretty important.
Well, no, but think about this now. Can you think of something that would be more secret than the goings-on aboard nuclear submarines and where they're currently located?
Well, that's probably why they crashed.
No, but that's my point.
Because they don't know where each other are. I don't know where...
Sure, but well, and their sensors would have worked and all the rest of it, but how come we have this story?
Yeah.
How come we have this story? Like, there's no reason for the media to have this story. This is a bizarre story. You mean to tell me we got robots that
so
are semi-sentient, and
like,
you got France and Britain, they have these two submarines collide underwater, and this, what, leaked out? You didn't have OPSEC on this? You couldn't keep this quiet? You know, of all the things you should be able to keep quiet, this happened underwater in the English Channel. Like, there was no witnesses.
It's in the middle of the water. Nobody's there unless a sailboat was going by at the time. Said, oh, what is that?
Huh. So, maybe...
Now, so, who's gaining from putting out this news?
No. Because there's evidence, right?
Okay.
There's evidence.
Okay.
We need to get photos of the damage to the one submarine. And we need to get photos of the damage to the other submarine. And then match it up to see whether or not the subs actually, the impact marks, MAC, match, hitting each other. Or maybe something attacked a submarine. Another submarine comes to respond to the attack because he gets an international beacon. France responds. Yeah. It gets attacked. The creature escapes. They got to have a story. Oh, the subs ran into each other.
Yeah. Well, why would they leak that out?
Because it's more plausible than the other story. Right. And people are going to talk anyway. And what are they going to say? No, we got attacked by a sea monster? No, they've already leaked the story that the two subs collided. Yeah. You know, either that or it's a go code for like a major political event to happen somewhere in the world. You know, because if you wanted to put the word out, that would be the way to go. Stephen Saunders of the retired British Navy, a Commodore. Retired British Navy Commodore and the editor of Jane's Fighting Ships. Okay, this guy is ships. And Stephen Saunders says, "Hoof, this really shouldn't happen at all. It's a very serious incident, and I find it quite extraordinary." You know, of course he does. You got two nuclear submarines. You know, you got two nuclear submarines, and they run into each other in the dark. You know, these crazy reactors. Yeah. That's ridiculous. These things are come on, man. Something's going on here.
You know, Britain and France, you know, pretty good terms, so they should have locations of where each other are.
Neighbors, for crying out loud. I mean, come on now.
You know, your monster stories sounded more and more plausible by the second.
I'm telling you, man, there's more shit going on. We got no idea.
Okay, what kind of thing could do that feasibly? What kind of creature?
I don't know. Some Cthulian
thing. Could crush a submarine that's...
Dude, you're dealing with a planet three times the size of Earth, okay?
That's true. We don't really know what's down there because
we haven't been down there. We got no idea. We're finding new species of squid all the time. It's crazy. It's crazy.
So really,
the creature's venturing
out of its territory to come into ours. Because
right now, there's creatures down there discussing in their massive hive mind in the darkness where the madness lurks. And they're all saying against the naysayers, "But we've lived here for thousands of years, and we've never seen them before."
And is this a warning to humans? Is this like, get away from us, that you're coming too close?
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know, but whatever it is, one thing I know about things in the ocean is that they're pretty alien. I'm here to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty alien.
Now, whenever I see pictures of those creatures that are like on the bottom of the ocean, it's frightening. Like they're not like no other creatures that you've seen.
Oh yeah. Oh well, they're finding all kinds of crazy shit all the time. And now, like the scientists, they're not even trying to name stuff anymore. They used to in the early days. They'd be like, "Oh yes, we've seen this before. This is the blah blah blah," and he makes some stuff up as he's going because he's basically speculating. And now, you know, they show up on the camera and there's like, you know, this screaming half human torso with like mantis arms going. He's like, "I don't know what the hell that is." Yeah, it's the seventh layer.
Give it a number.
Yeah, you know, it's huge. You know.
5264 creature number.
Whatever. This is Bob's ass. You know, we're gonna name it Bob's ass because Bob. We've been trapped in the sub with Bob for 4 days, and he's farting like mad because he hates these MRE packs. And yeah, it was Bob's ass. And then they get into a big argument because the captain's like, "No, you can't name it Bob's ass. We'll get in trouble for that."
Well, it just did. So there. I put it on the official sheet. It's done.
I'm going to sign it. I have signing authority. You do not. Just write whatever. I'll fix it. Anyway, in hologram news, they took our jobs! Audi and Australian firm PDM have announced a newly holographic virtual assistant in its Audi center in Sydney. The hologram is reported designed to facilitate and enhance communication and customer experience by delivering special digital content to technology to customers in a showroom. So they got a hologram stand, and they put that in the news. The virtual assistant is a life-size virtual construct using 3M's dynamic blah, 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 blah. The image is projected onto a 10-millimeter thick chunk of perspex that becomes a virtual person talking. So it's not really a hologram then, is it? It's kind of a trick with some light, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
It's not really, you know, but I mean, they're deploying it. They're deploying it.
I guess we're not going to be replaced just yet, but it's getting close.
Gen 1.
Yeah.
Right? You know, salespeople.
Soon Newsreel will have just holograms on it.
Well, no. We're future-proof, baby. Right here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we're so far ahead of the future, man. Are you
kidding?
That's
true.
We'll be obsolete when Zero Reg is obsolete, man. We're going to go forever. Don't you worry. It'll be rant media and punk rock. We'll never die. We'll never die.
Fighting all the way while they drag us out and with our holograms replaced.
Well, they can't drag us all away because eventually they'll just...
True.
And we'll go to the sea, into the dark bosom of the Mother Ocean and consult with our brethren in times of darkness. Anyway, in hot new meds. Now, this is another thing that's really pissing me off. Getting back to the farm. Now that they've got, robotic implants going everywhere and they got the robots that they're going to be using, our robotic overlords, right? Now that they're building those, let's not be outdone by the drug companies. Their greatest push is that, hey, our pills destroy your mind. And this is a sales. A widely available blood pressure pill could one day help people erase bad memories, perhaps treating some anxiety disorders and phobias. Well, if it's widely available, why would you say one day help people? You see what I mean? Like, if you take this pill, it erases bad memories, perhaps treating some anxiety disorders and phobias. According to a Dutch study published on Sunday. Wait a minute. What was the date Sunday?
Oh.
It was last
this
Sunday.
This past Sunday?
Yeah.
That would have been the 8th. No. 15th, sorry.
Yeah, 15th. So it published Sunday. So this is the same day this ran. This published in London on the 15th. So same day the study came out, the story ran. Okay. That's pretty good reporting right there. The drug was shown to significantly weaken people's fear to the memory of spiders. this generic beta blocker, propanol, sufficiently weakened people's fearful memories of spiders among a group of healthy volunteers who took it. Well, I've got a bunch of stuff I can feed a bunch of healthy volunteers that'll make them not be afraid of spiders.
Some fear is good. You need some fear.
Wow,
there's bad things out there.
Did you see that spider, man? Like, I've never, spoken with a spider before because he was, smart, and they say the spiders...
It was so fuzzy. It's
beautiful. Really, he's beautiful.
It
spider, man.
To me.
I'm not PTSD anymore, Not at all.
I'm ready to go back in the war.
That's right. And that's what they were handing out weed to Israeli soldiers. They were doing it to treat PTSD. That's what they did. Covered it on newsreel. Check the archives.
Not patentable.
What's
you
that?
You can't sell that.
Oh, you can't sell weed. That. We don't have a patent on that. That should be a new shirt
that's
on
right.
T-shirt. You can't sell weed. There's no patent on it. Yeah, there's no profit in it. That's what it says on the back.
No profit in weed.
I'm here to tell you, got that recession on the go? Let's legalize weed and tax the shit out of it, Despite the fact that it's going to be, pretty bad for everyone over the long term because, it's going to get abused. But, we're already abusing alcohol. I'm just saying, if it gets bad enough and we're looking at, the 30s, because but what? Oh,
well,
there's hundreds
of
thousands.
That's all I'm waiting for.
There's people starving to death in the streets and stuff? No. Okay, well, maybe we should do that. I'm just saying. It's just a thought. Daily Hack. This is cool. You're going to like the Daily Hack today. You're going to really like the Daily Hack. No, this is good. This is good stuff. Netsukuku. Hang on. Netsukuku. Screwed that up because I coughed. Hang on. Pardon me. Netsukuku. Am I saying that right? Netsukuku?
Yeah, Netsukuku.
Netsukuku. Netsukuku. Netsukuku is a mesh network. Or P2PNet system that generates and sustains itself autonomously. It is designed to handle an unlimited number of nodes with minimal CPU and memory resources. Thanks to this feature, it can easily be used to build a worldwide distributed but anonymous and not controlled network, separated from the internet without its support of any servers, ISPs, or authority controls. This net is composed by computers linked physically to each other, therefore it isn't a buildup on any existing network. Netsukuku builds only the routes which connects all of the computers of the net. In other words, Netsukuku replaces the level 3 of the model ISO OSI with another routing protocol. The domain name system is also replaced by a decentralized distributed system, the Abnormal Netsukuku Domain Anarchy, the ANDNA. Hmm. Yeah, now I remember when I was talking about the net that would kind of pop up in the background that couldn't be controlled. Now, that wouldn't be one specific net. Okay, that would be a series of net and kind of like networks, kind of like different IRCs or news groups, How news groups doesn't refer to one group. It refers to many, many different news groups. And so when I think of the guerrilla internet, the undernet, if I may call it that, the undernet that will exist where the afternow takes place in the undernet, this is part of that. This is where the undernet will grow from this. You see what I mean? It's this kind of a thing. So it's a very interesting thing to take a look at there.
That sure sounds promising. I'm going to go look it up after.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. It's kind of a neat idea. And as well...
I've always thought about that kind of thing. That was it's just a really neat concept. I always try to envision a kind of thing that worked autonomously from the internet.
Which is good. You know, why not? I think it could be good. I'd be worried about some security concerns. There's a chance for people to get exploited pretty badly on it. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, but exactly. Decentralization also gives rise to possible.
Well, I guess corruption. It's freedom or security. You get to choose one.
Right? Exactly.
I guess that's gonna. It's. I'm sure I'm gonna get mail over that. Which, if any time anyone's got any snide comments, I mean, you're more than welcome to email them to us here on Rant Media, and I'll read them with the same furor that you should read today's Recomedia. I got 11. Lovecraftian books. 11 books by Howard that was sent in by Misanthropic Gods, who was a heavy hitter. Heavy hitter this show. Misanthropic Gods was a heavy, heavy hitter this show. Thanks so much. He's been doing some really good stuff. And so you got some Lovecraftian stuff there. And as well, we're going to have links right there under Recomedia so that you can go and buy my book. No, not my book. The Patrolling Season 1.
Buy my video.
Buy our DVDs. Buy our media. Buy our media. There it is. That's we are.
That us encompasses and, everything.
Well, that's from that Saturday Night Live skit with George Takei, right?
I never saw the skit.
No, I don't think it was Saturday Night Live. It was from an album where it was called Star Trekking. I think it was called Star Trekking was the name of the album. And it was an audio track where the guy said, buy my book. Yeah, somebody should find that. If they could just give me the album, the track that's run. I'm sure somebody's heard it. But it was a takeoff of George Takei and all these different... That'd be
good. He has a really deep voice. So.
Oh, George Takei's great. You know, I mean, he's just a riot. I like that guy. But that's all I got. Hey, well, look at that. We're almost out of time.
Pretty good. Oh, and I saw the movie Network the other day. Very, very cool.
Did
Anybody
you?
Wants to see a cool movie? Yes.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's the one where the guy's like, don't you understand? They're out there. Get mad. Stick
exactly.
your head out the window.
Somebody going crazy, and it reminded me a lot of you.
Thanks, man. Thanks. that makes me feel good.
Somebody mad at the establishment.
Yeah, and
rise
if you,
up.
And if you want to go and... you want to like really like you want to stack that movie with something? I would stack that movie with Videodrome.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Videodrome and then Network. Yeah. That's a good mix. But that's all I got for you today. Don't worry, I'll be back next week to make we will be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast which is brought to you by the Wogs Who Care, who really do care, and I want to say a very much thank you to the people who have subscribed. It makes a huge difference. And I think we're trying to step up to the plate and deliver for you guys. So hopefully,
oh yeah, good content, yeah,
yeah. And the DVDs really are good, guys. Like no lie, I wouldn't. We're not wanting much to chill our stuff, but it's good stuff.
Lots of fun, good entertainment. Yeah,
yeah. But if you can't buy stuff, which is fair, I mean, you know, a lot of people too young, whatever, don't have any money. That's cool. Don't go spending the macaroni money on patrolling stuff. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, and if you're not going to watch it, if you're just going to buy it and stick it on the shelf, don't buy it. Like, I mean, you'll get it if you want to get it and you want to, you know, pick it up. But if you can't, if you can't pick it up, which is fine, you know, make sure you give this show out to somebody, okay? Burn it to a crappy old USB drive you got somewhere and leave it somewhere. Because everyone looks on USB keys that they find. You know, everyone knows that. If you find a USB key, you always check out to, you know, put it on US on a small USB, like one of those cheap little, like, 512 or 256 meg one, leave it somewhere because people check them out. They pick them up, they bring it home, they stick it in the box. Hey, you do it, I do it, everybody does it. If you find one, you'll totally check it out. Hey, there's a file on here and you have it like labeled something like Gorilla News or something like that, or just Newsreel. I suppose it's kind of boring. It's not really got any top secret, you know, or something. I don't know. Scary.
Do not play this MP3.mp3.
Or porn. Just call it porn.
Porn.mp3.
And guarantee they'll click on it with porn. Yeah, double X's, a whole bunch of X's, that's what you call it. And we'll spam them! We'll spam them with our very cleverly engineered spam, which is actually designed to make them better. Is it spam if it's good for you? You know, that's the moral quandary here on the show. Well, is it spam?
Right.
Is it spam if it's good for you? I'm just...
Well, I'm sure that's how the spammers justify it as well.
Hey, man.
It's a service I'm providing.
Well, I called you a hypocrite before with the Christmas card thing, and now, quite obviously, yeah. I'm a hypocrite too, because... That's what I'll sign out with today. I'm going to do that porn on Bandit one. I'm a hypocrite. I'm the first to admit. That was one of my favorite songs you did, actually. I like that one.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I like that one. I just sang it, for Christ's sake. Not very well, mind you.
You remember the lyrics, right?
Yeah.
You must have liked it.
No, I told you that one when you played it. We'll put that on the end of the show. But if you want to, send us, copious amounts of stuff, raw gold bullion, ancient artifacts, the Spirit of Destiny, you can send it to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. Do you want anything from server? Now, since we're praying, do you want them to send you anything?
We're praying to server? Ooh.
What do you want?
I think somebody's sending me an atheist button, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, but there's nothing you really want. Here's the opening. You can ask for anything you want. It could show up. It could show up in the mailbox.
Show up in the mail.
Just ask, man.
No, I don't think I need anything right now. Maybe next show. I'll think on it.
Well, I don't really want anything either. But anyway, yeah. I wanted to thank the Army. What I want.
Peace and love.
What
and
I want.
Understanding.
What I want is to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, of course, check out the most noble and holy Psytrance, where where we need to go? Server, hear my cry. Somebody out there has got to know somebody involved in the rave scene and can find me out a way that I could do a show in Goa, India at some rave so I could have a live rave in the background so we could just mic that live. So that'd be cool.
That'd be sweet.
That would be sweet. I wonder if we got anyone in the air, because I'd love to go to Goa, India. That's where Goa Psytrance is from, of course.
Oh, yeah, I'd go there. That's on my list of places to go. India,
yeah, I've never been to India, so I'd like to check that out. I think that'd be kind of, I think that'd be pretty mm-hmm. sweet. And we're going to fade out now. They got the drifty music. I like a lot more of the drifty stuff. But this is your, tell us, talk about the song, man. What's the deal with this, with Hypocrite?
Oh, it's an old song.
It's not that old,
like. Geez. No, it dates back to mid-90s. It was originally done by one of my bandmates' other bands. So he brought it into Porn on Beta, and then he did it in another band. Then he brought it in, he performed a version of it originally. Then I redid a version of my vocals, so it's been like done a couple times. And this is the Hypocrite song. And it's a fun song to perform.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah, because I think I've seen you do it live a couple of times. And put on a good
it's
show.
It's always in the set, yeah.
Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should do that for the next anniversary. Porn on Beta should do a show.
People were asking. People were saying, hey, why don't you do the show? And I was like, it was a little bit late in the game, so I couldn't really pull that together. But
but you made me do after now. Oh, I see.
Well, you could do that.
It's only an hour or so by yourself.
1 hour prep time. And if it's...
No expectations. Don't fuck that up. Seriously.
Push him out the door. Go.
God.
Crowd out there waiting
damn
for you.
Damn, was I stressed about now. But anyway. Anyway, that's
there
it
you
for
go.
The show.
I'll do Porn on Beta next year for 11th.
Don't commit like that, you crazy bastard. Don't do that. You might want to think about that. He's drunk. He's drunk, everybody. He's drunk. All right. We're never going to defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. I got to get through this ending here. Okay. I've got a format. Okay. I'm organized. It's not just willy nilly.
What? I thought it was chaos.
No, man. It's
until I was on the show. I just didn't understand.
It is. Okay. It's not working until there's rounds downrange. Okay, just hang on now. Hang on. So we will never. Oh, now you made me screw up the format. We'll never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. Do you have anything else, Sim?
No, I'm good.
Are you sure?
I'll just take another sip of this. Just once. I'll swig this.
You suck. You suck. Until next time, that's what server said. End of line.
Certain things require a sense of timing, a seem to lack. When a dance around you, it feels like two left feet falling. I can't keep a straight face when I lie to you anymore. Look me in the eyes now. I'm a hypocrite. It's like you and I'm a friend. unrestrained from no one.